New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Well, Frank, you've worn so many hats for the Chicago Fire. I mean, obviously you started out as a player. You've been a technical director. You've been a coach. You're now their color analyst. You do a wonderful job on television on their broadcasts. What has the Chicago Fire meant to you in your life?
I mean, thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me on. I would just say soccer in general has given, you know, been able through the game that I loved, has given me everything in my life. You know, I moved to Chicago, I would say, when I was very young at the age of 9. And, you know, when soccer back then, you know better probably than me, was non-existent. We only had back the NASL days and grassroots travel, the grassroots soccer at that level at that time was really non-existent. So, you know, for me, everything started in Chicago. I signed my first contract out of high school with the Chicago Sting. You know, that NASL league folded. You know, I went, I was a member of the Olympic team, the national team. I went to Europe, but then somehow I had the ability to come back and finish my career back in Chicago with the Fire back in 98, my 2 years. And then obviously I had an opportunity to work with the club. I got to know the owner, the new owner, Andrew Hoffman, really well through the foundation, the work that I did there. And then an opportunity obviously came to start working on the technical side. So I would say for me, soccer has given me everything. You know, been able to fulfill my dreams at the highest level. And obviously with the Fire, the ability to finish my career where it started in Chicago and then to still have an opportunity to work in the game at the highest level that, you know, has meant everything in my life, in my career, and to do it back home, it's been really a dream come true for me, Glenn.
Wonderful opportunity here to have on the horn and on Soccer Matters, Frank Klopas, who through his lens has seen many things. So I'm going to take you back to what you said about the North American Soccer League. You know, back in those days, the game really had not integrated itself into the suburbs around the country. It was very much all around the ethnic groups in big cities like you in Chicago. So I know very well how passionate the Greek soccer community is. Tell me about the Greek soccer community and kind of how that was a big part of your life, being someone of Greek descent and then ultimately going to play in Greece.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when I was 10 years old, I came here. You know, I would ask my dad, I'd say, I want to play. You know, where can I go to play soccer? It was non-existent. It's not like nowadays where you go to the parks and it's like from morning to night, you see kids playing. And, you know, the growth has been amazing. I've seen it firsthand. So for me, you know, at that age, at 9 years old, you know, where I played, my organized soccer was in my Greek Orthodox church. We had a team and we competed against, you know, the Serbs, the Croatians, you know, the Polish, the Germans. They all had their own youth teams that led up to the first teams. And that's where really my first organized soccer really began in the States. It's not like it is nowadays, you know, wherever you go and you're driving, you know, at any park, you'll see kids playing soccer. That didn't exist back then. And you're right. I mean, most of the players, like in the NASL days, I mean, there were some great players that were here because the money wasn't there in Europe. They would come over, guys that, you know, I remember back in the Sting days, I mean, there were four or five German players, you know, Karl-Heinz Granitza, Paul Hahn, Ingo Peter, Hans Weiner, you know, guys that, you know, played at Bayern Munich that, you know, represented the national team or Germany, Arnold Steffenhagen. I mean, some great players. So, you know, for me, you know, I started, obviously, my career back with in my church team. You know, and that's really what kept those ethnic, the ethnic groups really kept soccer going back then.
Frank, are those ethnic communities from a soccer perspective still alive and well in and around Chicago now?
No, they are. Of course, there are. Obviously, you know, back then a lot was in the city, but now that, you know, they moved out of the city in different, you know, kind of locations, you know, like, you know, the Greek town that used to be there when I was a little kid that's not existent. It's so spread out now. And the German clubs that were mostly, you know, in the city now, they've moved out in the suburbs. But it's still there. It's still growing. But, you know, I think a lot of people shouldn't forget that, you know, I mean, those ethnic groups and even the Hispanic groups in the city of Chicago, I mean, it's, you know, what really laid the foundation for, you know, what soccer has become today. You know, they're still there, Glenn. They're still there.
Talking to Frank Klopas, Chicago Fire analyst, was also their coach, also a player there. Let's talk about the days at Soldier Field with the Fire and some of those great moments you had in the Open Cup and everything, and just the environment that was down there at Soldier Field, and, you know, the whole Eastern Bloc with Lubos Kubik and Peter Novak and Koshetsky, yourself. This was a great time for soccer in Chicago.
It was, and I tell a story. It was really amazing because, you know, the excitement of having a team back because, you know, I mean, we had the Sting days back in the NHL days that, you know, they won the 1984 soccer bowl, 81-84. And listen, back then I was a young kid. I used to go watch those games, believe it or not, 1981 in the 80s. And they played in Wrigley Field. They played in the city, Wrigley and Old Comiskey. Do you know that I was in games in Wrigley Field back then where the Sting playing the Cosmos used to get 33,000 fans in those games back then? Think about that. When really soccer at the grassroots is not what it is today. So for me, you know, having an opportunity towards the end of my career, I owe a lot to the Fire because, coming back and staying here after the World Cup in 94, I had played 2 years in Kansas City. It was 2 great years. But having an opportunity to come and join that Fire team in 98, you know, and kind of finish my two last years of my career where it started was really special. And I go back to the first day. I remember where we played the Mutiny, opening that first game really at Soldier Field. And I remember driving there, you know, like 3 hours before the game. And Glenn, it was amazing for me to see the amount of people and the support that they were, you know, that came out for that game. We had over 45,000 in that game. But I went there 3 hours before. And I thought, man, am I in the wrong stadium? I just could not believe the amount of people that were there. I actually missed my exit. I had to go past south of the stadium and kind of loop around and to get back in. And it was amazing because, I mean, that's what soccer, I mean, there's a big following. The soccer culture in Chicago is massive, you know. And, you know, we didn't have soccer at the highest level for many years. And, you know, bringing it back in 98 at Soldier Field into the city. And obviously, look, I mean, it was huge that our first player that we signed was Peter Novak, that the connection with the Polish fan base was massive. We had over 10,000 Polish fans there every game. And then the team, obviously, the success we had on the field helped. But being in the city was really a unique situation for us. And the support that we got those 2 years, at least that I was there and continued, was incredible to see.
Frank, and now the report is that the Chicago Fire have bought their lease out in Bridgeview and they're going to go back into the city. You know, give me some of your thoughts on that and how you think that's all going to go down in the future, because it does sound like a very good move at this point.
I think it's a great move. And look, I think timing is everything, Glenn, because let's not forget when the league back in 96 and 98, I think there was a push that, you know, the league is, it's not what it is nowadays, you know, back then. I mean, you know, it's something, you know, so having that, getting that soccer-specific stadium in Bridgeview at that time was great. And Bridgeview has been, over the years, really a great place and a great partner with the Fire. But I think it's time for the team just to, at least in my opinion, you know, to move back into the city. And tremendous commitment here by owner Andrew Hopman and Joe Monsretto to, you know, to pay a lot of money, you know, to, you know, find a way to get out of the lease, and hopefully they're close to finalizing that deal to move back into the city. I think it's the right time. And long-term, is it the right solution? You know, I would hope that, you know, long-term, you know, they would find some place and land in the city to build another stadium. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, in the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, the Fire could be selling out, Soldier Field, like, you know, when we see Gold Cup final and the national team comes, plays Mexico, because the fan base is there. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting them out to the games, and maybe a move like this at the right moment. Timing is everything. I think it's the right time for this Fire team to move back. And we owe a lot to, obviously, to the ownership group for making that kind of commitment. So I'm excited about it.
Talking to Frank Klopas, former U.S. international, former player for the Chicago Fire, also played and won titles in Greece with Ike. Also a man that has managed the Chicago Fire as well. So if the team does move back into Chicago, is this going to need additional things to occur? Is it going to, you know, I hear this whole thing about a potential name change. I hear people saying, look, if you do that, you have to bring in some big mega star. What has to accompany the move back, if anything?
I mean, look, I mean, when you look at the roster right now, I mean, you look at the designated players that they have, and I think that their contracts end at the end of the season. So, you know, I think that's something that the technical staff is going to have to evaluate and see, you know, you're making this move. You know, how can we look? Who do we keep? How do we improve the roster? So, look, they're going to have flexibility, you know, and, you know, some of the stuff, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there, Glenn, what's true, what's not true, the name changes, this or that. I really don't know. We looked at other teams that have done that. You look at, you know, I played in Kansas City when it was the Wizard back then when we started, and then they changed the name. They built an incredible stadium when they did so, and look what's, you know, happened to them. Look, the history that you have with the club, that's never forgotten, the players that are there, you know. So I'm not going to jump to conclusions, but I think that, you know, the opportunity is there, you know, for sure to, you know, to make changes in the roster, you know, to bring some, and it's not about just big name players. It's about the quality, and I'm about playing good and attractive soccer because, you know, the people here nowadays are knowledgeable. You know, the fan base in Chicago, they know good, you know, you can bring big names, but they don't do it on the field. It really, it's not going to help you. So it's all about the product on the field. Big names do help, but big names with the right mentality and attitude, they can still go on the field and get the job done. And the game has changed here. You know, it's not like 10, 12 years ago where, you know, the game is very dynamic. The level of players has gone, the quality has increased in a very positive way. So I just think, you know, big name players help, but big name players help only when they're able to do their part on the field and help the team win.
Frank Klopas joining us. Look, you were also a technical director of the Chicago Fire. You know what it is and what it takes to put a roster together. How challenging is it in this league from a guy who has done this with all the different player categories, which probably has even been increased since you were in the technical director's job? How challenging is that, staying up with all this?
I get dizzy with all the rules that they have nowadays. Glenn, you know, back then it was a little bit easier. When I came in, I think it was just, you know, at that moment, I think maybe it was like Dave Casper, you know, it was like a pioneer at that time for DC, who was like the technical director. I came in under John Guppy, who was the president at that time of the Fire, and I was doing mostly the scouting. I was just starting to learn that role, and, you know, things changed pretty quickly for me. I think things have changed, man. You know, there's, you know, look at the amount of teams right now. I think you're competing, you know, with everyone else in the league, so you have to be a couple steps ahead of everyone, you know, investment in scouts, you know, your connections around the world, your ability to travel, all that comes in handy, you know, and some teams are a little bit better off than others. You look at NYCFC and their connection with Man City because they're the owners. Can you imagine the scouting abilities that they have using their database? So that's who you're competing against. So you know, it's a whole different ball game now than when I used to do it, and it's getting harder and harder because everybody's kind of competing for the same players. Not easy. And it's also, the other thing is, it's also very difficult when, you know, it's almost like in this league you have, you know, one shot and you got to hit a bullseye. It doesn't always work like that because you can do all, you know, you can bring good players with the right mentality, and sometimes it just doesn't work out, you know. And I think the room, we don't have a lot of, the technical directors now, the guys that are putting teams together, you don't have, you know, a lot of bullets to miss. So when you make decisions, you know, you got to get them pretty much spot on, and it's not that easy.
Frank Klopas joining us here and enjoying this conversation with him through his lens of Major League Soccer, both, you know, as a player, as a coach, as a technical director. He has been in a variety of roles and experienced many, many things. Biggest changes for you overall in Major League Soccer, when you look at it and where it's jumped to now? Because I even look back in 2006 and 7 and 8, and I just see it's just grown exponentially. The size of the league, 24 teams now, we're still growing. Austin FC is going to come in, where this show originates from. There's just so much going on.
The growth is amazing, Glenn, because, in the beginning, there were, the first 4 or 5 years, there was still that question mark is, will this league make it? That's not the question anymore. That this league is here, it's here to stay. I mean, the interest within the league, it's been amazing. The quality of players that you get here, that's the thing now. I mean, you're attracting players, from all over the world, and they're looking at the league, because I think that they see the quality of life. They see the competition getting better. They see, the attendance in the league. They see the stadiums. They see, what teams have invested in situations. It's not just stadiums on the field, but their ability, like, behind the scenes, the sports science department, and this or that, and their ability when a guy comes here now to be able to prolong your career and play at that highest level for a lot longer. And then the other thing is, for me, it's like the money right now, the money that's in, you look at certain teams and the amount of money that they're spending in, with DPs and transfer fees right now with Atlanta. I mean, they're getting closer to $30 million. You're competing with some leagues in Europe right now. I'm not saying EPL or La Liga or the Bundesliga, but, I mean, there's teams in Italy that can't afford to pay some of the transfer fees that we're paying here. So that has come a long way, those for me are all positive. I still look at it, when I look at it, I'm trying to see, okay, those are all positives, but how can we get better quality games throughout the season? At this time of year when it's late and there's 10 games left, there's a lot on the line. So for sure, teams are fighting for playoff spots. You're going to get more pressure within the players. You're going to get better games. But throughout the season, how can we create better games from day one? And that's the question, because, there's some good games, but there's some games that the quality, it's got to improve and get better.
That's interesting. You just took yourself into that, because that was my next question, the lack of consequence in this league. Because, look, there's teams that have had poor seasons. If this was a single table, it's over. Okay. It's over now. And I even had this conversation with the Houston Rockets NBA general manager, Daryl Morey. I said, are you concerned about the NBA in consequence during the regular season? That, to me, is a big issue with MLS, because 14 to 24 teams make the playoffs. I know it's built and designed so that, everybody's got hope and possibility up until the final moment, pretty much. But I'm with you. How can it be made more competitive The fans get better games, the players don't feel there's a fallback position, and they can't come to you after a game and say, well, it's a long season.
Yeah, but that's all. That's the thing. And then we always talk about, we got to find guys with the right mentality. You got to find guys with the right attitude. I get it. There's no player that you bring that's not a competitive person. When you step on the field, any professional player, anyone that plays the game, they want to win. They're competitive people. That's not, but, for me, I see a lot of games. I see all the games. There's some good games, but there's some games that I'm saying, man, this got a long way to go. So, you were in a league. There's no promotion relegation. Where's the pressure there from day one? So, when I look at this season, okay, I get it. They go from, there's 24 teams, 7 teams from each division make. That, for me, that's way too many. It's just my opinion.
I'm in total agreement with you on that.
Why don't you just leave it 6-6 from it? At least that way, from day one, there's pressure. There's more accountability in guys. You're making decisions. You're bringing these guys in, and I don't know. I look at that and I just say, how can we improve that part of it? How can we make it, we're from game one, from kickoff, there's going to be intensity. There's going to be pressure. There's a lot on the line. There's accountability all around. That's the thing for me. I still don't see enough of those kind of games, and that's the only way that the players here are going to improve and get better. That's the thing. I look at some games, and some of the games, they're so stretched out. That's not the reality. That's way too easy, I feel like I can still go on the field and play at times, That's not the real. And then you get some games and you say, this is a good game. This was a great game. And I think a couple weeks back, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, when we saw that big derby, the LA Galaxy, LAFC, that was a great intensity game. You know, from the first whistle, you know, big players stepping up, playing in big games, the quality overall, the commitment, the tackles from the first. How can we get more of those games? That's the question for me. And it's just my opinion. I don't think it helps when there's 24 teams and then you let, you know, you put an additional team. I get it. There's expansion, but it's not there yet. So why make it easier for teams? Hold guys more accountable.
I agree with you. And that same weekend, we had Seattle and Portland, and we had one other game, and I was like, wow, these were three of the most competitive, compelling MLS games that I had seen sort of back-to-back all year long. And I agree with you 100%. Do you think we're sometimes too concerned with the expansion and all these other things and not the competitive side of the game? In other words, you know, the rules like you're talking about, things like that, that will create more pressure? Or, you know, do the clubs have more responsibility now to manufacture it in their own markets, get themselves into mainstream media? We know certain markets have that, the Portlands, the Seattles, the Atlantas, but we know an awful lot of them don't. I mean, where I am in Houston, the mainstream media is blind, deaf, and dumb.
Yeah. I don't know. Some markets it's easier than others, Glenn. I mean, you look at our Chicago market. I mean, it's a big sports market, but then you're competing. You have two baseball teams, a hockey team, a football team, basketball team. There's a lot. You know what I mean? It's a tough market, you know? And then, you know, you're in Portland, this or that. They've done a great job. Seattle, right, I get it. But, you know, in some markets, I think it's a little bit easier than other markets. That's all I would say. I know, you know, in Chicago, it's still going to take time because how can we get to the point you go into – and it's going to take time, right? I mean, look at the league. As long as, you know, it's been amazing to grow because it is a short time, you know. But, you know, how can we get it ingrained more into the culture? And that's going to come over time, in my opinion, you know. That's going to come over time. But it all starts for me, just how can we get right now more competitive games? And I think, look, expansion is good, but I also have to be a little bit smart or careful because, you know, how many teams are we going to let, you know, you're going to bring in? You know, it's great. But then where are all these players going to come from? You know?
All right,
are we looking at the American players? Are we giving them opportunities or we're just looking now always abroad just bringing foreign guys? Because as the league grows, you know, everybody wants to come in this league and play. It's great. The lifestyle is great. Great stadiums. No pressure at times, you know. I'm going to get my money, you know, right on time. So I still have to think there's got to be a balance, you know. I mean, you got to find the right balance. And I think that we also shouldn't neglect, and we got to be thinking, how are we going to develop this American players? Because if you grow, you know, allowing more outside players to come in, I think that hurts the American players. And look, I'm not saying that, you know, give American players, they should have a chance just to play. They have to earn that, but I mean, I think that always you got to find the right balance, and we got to make sure that we're developing also the players here in America.
Yeah, it does seem like the scale has tipped a little bit more towards the foreign player, and it's a very young, talented foreign player that's coming. A lot of Argentines spread throughout the league. We saw Fernandez just sign in Portland from Necaxa in Mexico. I mean, there are some incredible talents coming over here. But I do look at some lineups for certain clubs on certain days, and there's not that many Americans in it.
Yeah. And look, I think that we're going to start seeing, I believe, more American players because there's been a lot of money invested in youth academies in the last 10 years. And now you're going to start seeing, you know, some of those players coming through. Yeah. And that's the key. But I also look for me, I look at, you know, with the younger players and the status of the league, always I look at, you know, at the national team and even at the youth national teams. At the U-20 team that they played in the last World Cup, and there's some talented, you know, young players there that are coming up, and that's encouraging for me to see. You see our senior national team, and that's always the mirror of the strength of any league. You know, you look at the national team, and I'm excited of some of the younger players. I'm excited at the work that you know Greg Berhalter's doing with his staff. I think there's a lot of positives there, and the future looks bright.
We're talking to Frank Klopas. He's currently the Chicago Fire color analyst on their broadcast, but also was a player for the Fire, was a coach for the Fire, technical director, has played for the U.S. national team as well. So if I take you to Atlanta now and I see all this talk about Frank DeBoer, and of course they're coming off winning the title in dramatic fashion with Tata Martino. You know, they had Miguel Almiron, a very different playing style last year. They won the MLS Cup. You know, there's fans now in year three in Atlanta saying they want to walk out because they don't think Frank DeBoer is doing a good enough job. Is this growth in MLS or is this insanity?
You know, probably a little both, but it doesn't hurt that you have a little bit of pressure there from the fan base. I think that, you know, they had, look, they invested a lot of money. They had a great coach in Tata. They had success. He moves on. You know, it's a little bit of a different team now. You know, Almiron moves on, and, you know, with him on the pitch, they were such a dynamic counterattacking team in transition that would just kill teams, you know. And then they break Martinez, which they invested a lot of money, and he's finding it a little bit more difficult to fit in. It's taken him a little bit longer. So I don't mind the pressure, man. The expectations and the pressure to be, you know, like that, it's good. But let's not forget, you know, you're not getting relegated here. You're in the playoffs, so, you know, they're in it.
Yeah,
they haven't lost anything yet, because in the league right now, it's not sometimes how what you do throughout the season. You know, it doesn't matter. You can be the best team overall in the season, and then in the end of the day, it's about winning that trophy. So as long as you put yourself, you know, you're in a good rhythm and form towards the end of the season, you're in the playoffs, that's all really that matters. But I don't mind when people really, you know, talk now about this coach or that and the pressure. I think that's all good, because then soccer has come a long way for me. You know, you wouldn't get this kind of conversation, you know, years ago.
You had this pressure as a coach of the Fire. Tell us about it. How heavy was it in
coach,
Chicago?
I think you always put pressure, especially for me it was different because I grew up in Chicago. I played for the team.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think as a coach, you put tremendous pressure on yourself. I wanted to make sure that I did whatever I possibly could to prepare the team and to win every match, because, you know, it meant a lot for me, you know, having played there, having, you know, I finished my career there. So I had a lot of responsibility. Not that it was the case different when I went to Montreal, but, you know, I just know myself as a person, and I think that every coach, I think he puts tremendous pressure on himself, because the box stops with the head coach. So the responsibility is to find answers, to try to improve the team. And, you know, because, you know, that in the end of the day, it's, you know, there's accountability. You know, as a coach, sometimes you go in and, you know, you talk about the plan. You know, I have a 3-year plan. I have this, but you got to throw that plan. You got to be coaching sometimes, like, you know, every week. I got to get results, you know, because if you think too much, I got a 3-year plan, that 3-year plan, they throw out the window, because you're not going to last 3 years.
Yeah. Frank Klopas is joining us. Okay, so Austin FC is going to join the league in under 2 years now. In 24 hours, they had 30,000 season ticket deposits. This is a market that is going to blow up. And they named the manager
Amazing.
Josh Wolf, who you are very, very familiar with. Tell me what you've seen from Josh and all the work that he's done now post-playing, but also the playing side of it. And then, you know, now getting this opportunity after putting in the time as an assistant coach in a number of places with Austin FC.
I think that's exactly, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, he's put his time in. I mean, look, I remember Josh when my last 2 years, he was a young kid, tremendous, tremendous player, tremendous player. First of all, that, I mean, tremendous character, tremendous person, tremendous soccer player. He had some injuries really that, you know, I remember an ACL early on in his career as a player, but this kid was special on the field, you know. But then, look, I mean, he stepped away. He went and got his coaching license. He's been an assistant coach for many years, you know, many years. And I think he's ready to take the next step. I think he's done it the right way. He's put his time, he's paid his time, and he's put his dues. He's worked extremely hard. He has a good way and idea how he sees the game, what he wants. He's been under some very good coaches. He spent a lot of time with Greg Berhalter in Columbus and now with the national team. So, I think it's a great, great signing. There's also, from an ownership standpoint and with Josh, there's a good understanding. They have a good relationship knowing each other from Columbus. And that's a key for me, for any coach, your ability not only to manage your team and to manage the people underneath you, but if you don't have a good relationship with the chairman, with the owner above, and you know, it's never going to work out. So I think he's paid his dues. I think he's more than ready. I think it's a great signing, and I think it's also going to work out for them because also the relationship that he has with the owner.
Frank, the last one before I let you go, and I can't let you go without asking you this about this. Biggest goal you ever score, was it the 95 Copa America when the United States shocked Argentina and beat them and you scored the first goal in that game?
I always remember and I will never forget that goal. But the biggest goal in my career that I never forget was my first goal I ever scored as a professional player. And that was with the Chicago Sting. I will never forget that goal because, you know, I still close my eyes and I go back. That was like a feeling, you know. And I always used to say when I watched that Rocky movie when Stallone won, you know, and you yeah. saw that moment when he's jumping up and down, and there's like a feeling that I go back and I remember that goal that I scored. It was like, you know, it was something I could not I can't describe because it was at home, 20,000 people or something, and with my family and friends there, and it was a moment that I will never forget. So I've been thankful that I've been able to play in some great teams. Thankful that I've been able to score some big goals. But the first goal I've ever scored as a professional is the one that will always be, in my mind, the best one ever.
Frank, we thank you so much for your time. Thanks for the great insight. This was a wonderful interview, and I hope we get to do it again soon.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Frank Lopez.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.